Looking for an awesome place to host your draft party? Look no further than Hooters. With tons of TVs, free Wi-Fi, world-famous wings, and ice-cold beer, you're probably thinking, it doesn't get any better than that. But wait, at Hooters, it does. Every fantasy league gets a free draft kit and over $200 in Hooters swag. Join us for fantasy football, done Hooters style. Book now at Hooters.com/football. That's Hooters.com/football. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. I'm Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is presented for the third straight year by Hooters, and specifically OriginalHooters.com, which operates the 11 Hooters locations in the Tampa Bay area. We are all set to go for Sunday night. We have filled all the slots. We are three leagues on Sunday night at Hooters in Tampa on Hillsborough Avenue with Ty, the calendar girl, waiting on us, Camilla, who waited on me and some of the guys from Bay News 9 when we put together a fantasy football television feature now about a month ago. Three leagues, the Todd Wright Tour League, the Ira Kaufman HFFL Hall of Fame Fantasy League, and this year it's me against the field in the Moneyball League, where I will pick first overall, subject of this podcast, and never draft again. All other seven owners in the league will draft their teams, and then in the 72 hours that follow the draft, I will choose from all the remaining undrafted free agents to build my opening day roster. And we'll see how I do. Excuse me. Thanks to everybody for their RSVPs to fill up three leagues and roughly half the restaurant on Sunday night. And we'll have a full recap early next week on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Sorry, some of you are fighting the same thing. It's a cold that won't go away. It's been about 6 weeks now. One of my longtime friends told me she's had the cold for 7 weeks, so she has it worse than me. Bill Curry Ford, big supporter of mine, and JoeBucksFan.com. Sean Sullivan is playing in the Ira Kaufman Hall of Fame Fantasy League on Sunday night from Bill Curry Ford. Sean answered the call when I had sudden issues with my Ford Focus in the last 24 plus hours. And Sean was extremely attentive, and he is the general manager at Bill Curry Ford. And this is why Bill Curry Ford has been taking care of generations of Tampa Bay residents for their new, used, and servicing of existing vehicles for, what, 60 years? Basically, about 60 years now, right there on Northdale Mabry, just north of the stadium. Sean was not only attentive to me when I told him I was stranded, my vehicle was dead, couldn't do anything with it, put me immediately in touch with the right guys over in the service department. They got me in. They figured it out. And as of this afternoon, I am extremely happy. Some guys even pulled me aside, talked some sports with me. They had known me for a long time. Unfortunately, these were guys I didn't personally know. Look, I don't want to see these guys again anytime soon, but it was a wonderful experience for me at Bill Curry Ford. So I thank Sean Sullivan, the GM, and I thank the staff of the service department for what they did for me over the last 24 plus hours. Beyond professional, beyond attentive, even a nice compliment. And I'm sure she finds a nice compliment for every customer that walks in. She's sort of a meter and a greeter of customers coming in. And she told me how beautiful my eyes were. And she meant it. Look, if she's lying, I don't care. I'm going to own the compliment. Just really wonderful people at Bill Curry Ford. So, Sean Sullivan, thank you very much. And thanks to everyone over in the service department for their attention over the last 24 to 48 hours. All right, on to the number one overall pick. I've been receiving some emails, and you can ask me any of your fantasy football questions at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Questions involving the top pick or the top couple of picks. And we now have the new wrinkle of a Cam Newton injury and how that might affect things. So let's take that first. That at this point, most of us have no idea the severity of Cam Newton's foot injury and whether or not it will affect him being the opening day starting quarterback for the Panthers. There seems to be a lot of discussion about Carolina needing to bring in another quarterback option, that the two that they currently have on the roster behind Cam Newton are simply incapable of going under center week one, and this being a season that Carolina can compete. Now, I have my doubts about the Carolina Panthers anyway. As I talked about in the previous Todd Wright Toddcast, where I went conference by conference, division by division, with division champs and wild cards from last year and how it could compare to division champs and wild cards this year, and I left Carolina out. That was with Cam Newton. Without him, they're definitely out. So is this a red flag on Christian McCaffrey? It's a minor one, all right? This isn't Ezekiel Elliott holding out. This isn't Melvin Gordon holding out. This isn't David Johnson in an offense you can't trust that just desperately threw money at Michael Crabtree. That should tell you all you need to know about the Cardinals' offense and where it's really at. I view that as a desperate move by a desperate team. Other red flags. We've talked about at length the Le'Veon Bell red flags with him changing from a stable, winning environment in Pittsburgh. And when I say stable, I don't mean all the stupid stuff that had gone on within the Steelers. I just mean he had been a Steeler. We had seen him perform. We knew what he would be asked to do. He knew what his role was. We knew when he'd be on the field all the time. We knew when Ben would throw to him. We knew when he'd get the touches in the red zone. You know none of that with Adam Gase and the New York Jets and Sam Darnold. None of it. Another red flag. Todd Gurley's knee, red flag. So there are all these red flags on what many would consider the RB1s ranked from 4 through, let's just say, 8. I believe I will be avoiding all of them unless they drop to the 3rd round and I feel I am getting great value in my second running back. But as it relates to McCaffrey, it's a small red flag. It's not going to distract me. If anything else, let's state the obvious. Cam Newton likes attention. So when the Panthers have the ball on the goal line, no matter what the play call is, Cam's thinking, you know, I'd like to score this touchdown myself. Why should I hand it off? Why should I throw it? If it's there, it's 1, 2, 3 yards away. Let's do it. I can do my little Superman thing, and everybody loves me. Well, not everybody, Cam. Definitely not me. McCaffrey would get those touches. You wouldn't have to worry about McCaffrey losing a potential 6 points to a selfish Cam Newton who just wants the love. So McCaffrey to me is still a solid top three overall pick. And just stepping back big picture, the consensus, and I firmly agree with it, is that three running backs are the first three picks off the board unless, come your draft, some of these red flags are removed on other players, namely Ezekiel Elliott. That's probably the easiest red flag to remove. And I don't know if Melvin Gordon showed up tomorrow and started playing with a deal, I don't know that I'd take him 4. I don't even know if I'd take him 5 or 6. So that's a little further down the line. Now, if we could magically transplant a healthy knee into Todd Gurley's body, that removes that red flag, and yeah, then suddenly, you know, Gurley might be 1 or 2 again. But we're not at that point, and I don't think they can do that. But the first three, in no particular order, Barkley, McCaffrey, Kamara. For some of you, this news on Newton will scare you away from McCaffrey. Maybe at 1, maybe at 2. I don't think it should scare you away from him at 3. By the end of last year, Carolina stunk. McCaffrey was still cranking out fantasy numbers, getting a lot of touches, and even if it's somebody else playing quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, McCaffrey will touch the ball a lot. He may play, if this is even possible, even more, even harder if Cam Newton is not on the field. So yeah, I still think he's in the top three. I understand if now you're using that as a tiebreaker to not take him first overall. I lean towards Saquon Barkley at first overall, and I made this decision late last season just based on what Barkley was doing and how going into a second year, what it would be like to own him for fantasy purposes. And I owned both McCaffrey and Kamara last year on a dream team that got beat in the fantasy semifinals. You've all been there just like me. So that's the conversation on McCaffrey. We acknowledge the small red flag. I get it if it's a tiebreaker and you would lean to Barkley over him or Kamara over him. I still personally would take McCaffrey over Kamara just because Kamara has not spent an entire season in the lead role of his team's offense. He spent the beginning of last season in that lead role and was phenomenal. Then Mark Ingram returned, and it's not like Kamara's numbers dropped off significantly, but now it is all about him for the entire fantasy season. You cannot have an expectation that Sean Payton will use Latavius Murray the way he used Mark Ingram once Mark Ingram returned. Now, I do see some comparisons in their running style. But clearly, Kamara is now in the number one role for the entire season, barring injury or something else unforeseen. Look, I don't know many that were drafting Kamara 3 last year. So he has moved up on overall draft boards. We just wonder. We don't wonder about Barkley's playing time in New York. We don't wonder about McCaffrey's playing time in Carolina. One of the most ridiculous things I heard late last season was when C.J. Anderson was moving his fat ass for 7-8 yards a carry, helping the Rams overcompensate for the bad knee of Todd Gurley. Some were taking it too far, saying, well, this just shows Carolina made a huge mistake not playing and then letting C.J. Anderson go. I'm sorry, when was C.J. Anderson ever going to touch the ball in Carolina? When? Because that's Christian McCaffrey's job. C.J. Anderson was not going to steal any of McCaffrey's reps. No. Bad statement without a lot of thought. So the workloads of Barkley and McCaffrey are unquestioned, while the workload of Kamara, of the top three, that's the one we wonder about. We still think his ADP is higher this year than it was last year, but his role for this full season is changing. And there's another back he'll share with. It's different than Ingram. It's now Latavius Murray. So what does it all mean? There's a little more uncertainty there. There's not as much uncertainty with Barkley and with McCaffrey, which is why I thought, even prior to the Cam Newton injury, you break down those top three picks, Barkley, McCaffrey, Kamara. And after the Newton injury, I still think. Now, if you told me right now, Newton is done for the year, Carolina's going to call the Miami Dolphins and say, who don't you want? Because I think the Dolphins at this point would be willing to dump either Fitzpatrick or Rosen and just officially go into tank mode. Yeah, I'd still take McCaffrey too, for all the reasons already said. And Kamara would go 3. And at this point, if I have the 4th pick, yep, I'm still leaning Devontae Adams or DeAndre Hopkins until I hear something else about Ezekiel Elliott. Remember, send me your emails. Any questions at all? Top of the board, middle of the board, specific to position. Keeper questions are fine. Setting up your league are fine. Can I commend the commissioners that have said to me everything goes to a vote, but they have tried to implement some of the changes I've been emphasizing on this podcast, like dumping PPR, it's outdated, dumping the mandatory tight end, curbing kicker scoring, eliminating DST altogether. Look, sometimes it takes a while to implement ideas that make sense. Unfortunately, that's just the way our world seems to work. But the fact that you brought it up means a lot to me. Maybe next year some more people will agree with you because they'll think about some of the things you said as this season plays out. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com for all your fantasy questions. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I welcome those of you who have received your invitations. If you did not receive an invitation to come to Hooters on Sunday night, you're not in one of the leagues. We are locked in with the three leagues And I welcome all of you that are coming out. And that'll be a good dry run for me. And then reviewing some of those draft tendencies on this podcast next week. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to OriginalHooters.com. Remember to also listen to the Todd Wright Toddcast, available on all major podcast platforms, just like this one, and JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks for listening.